is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Hi, I'm Bran. I love Hallmark, winter, new year. I thought it was Winterfest.
What are you doing?
This is on me.
It is on you.
I love Hallmark Winterfest movies.
Hey, it's Panda. I like Hallmark New Year, new movies.
It's Dan.
Yeah.
I despise both of those things very, very much. And this is the
Deck the Hallmark podcast.
Oh, wow.
Winter. How we doing?
So good.
This is the part of the show where I normally say new week, new us, but it's not.
No.
We had an episode come out yesterday.
That's right.
Dan, Panda, myself, tell everybody about the new 5 days a week Deck the Hallmark, what they can expect.
Did you tell yourself to do that just now?
I did. Sometimes you just need to hype yourself up.
Yeah, I got you.
Pump everybody up about 5 days a week.
It's a 5 day a week DTH. What more could you ask for in life than 5 days of Deck the Hallmark in a week?
Right.
It's unbelievable.
Six. You could ask for six.
Maybe you're going to do a special singing episode for the six.
It's called Saturday Sing Along with Panda. Saturday
Sing Along with Panda. Yeah, stay tuned for that. That's right.
I understand you tested that out this weekend. You came into the studio with Trace and you did a little.
We had a little ditty.
We got a clip to kind of pump people up for Saturday.
Yeah.
Trace, cue that clip.
Okay.
I'm diving in. I'm going deep. Everybody.
Get over my head. I worry.
Yeah.
Good one.
Thanks. The voice you were doing there?
All right, everybody.
What is that?
Well, you know how you just—it's what
it's helps a little
me.
Raspy.
Is this show? How much Tracy's going to be in this show? Because judging by the clip, a lot.
Yeah, no, she helps me. We do a duet.
When you say everybody, it's just you two in the studio.
Yeah, she actually. Now we don't want to push it too early, but we did. It's All Coming Back to Me duet. For Celine Dion.
Wow.
That's great. Really and while good. We're still working on that, the other 5 days are set and locked in.
Yes.
You're going to get a classic Hallmark every Friday
from
the boys, a classic Hallmark.
You think Hallmark can just do that? Nope,
no,
we can.
We can too, a classic Christmas Hallmark, right?
That's exactly right.
You're going to get the new movie every week. You're going to get an interview or a preview episode
for preview show this Wednesday,
strange
that's right.
reason every week. You're going to get a movie that's not on Hallmark every week with me and Brandon Alonzo. You're going to get, that's Hulu, that's Disney Plus, that's all of them.
That's right.
That's everything.
Wind
Calls the Heart.
Wind Calls the Heart on Thursday. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
This Friday, we're going to be watching A Bride for Christmas.
Prime for free.
That's exactly right. Prime for free. Now, a lot of people are asking, how can we watch these movies we want to? We're going to try to make it as easy as possible. The problem is Hallmark's made that very difficult.
Yep.
Not a lot of the movies are streaming. This one is Prime for free. Some of them will be available for renting.
Yep.
And then, God forbid, I don't know, in a month, we'll have to move to DVD only. We'll give you plenty of heads up about that. But all of the Monday movies will be streaming from what I understand, including this next Monday. We did Happiest Season from Hulu.
Yesterday.
We're going to do 12 Dates of Christmas.
That's Mark
Disney
Paul
Plus,
Gosselaar, baby.
Mark Paul. So go
Zach
ahead.
Zach Morris.
Watch those this week if you would like to. Yeah. So
lots of fun.
That's exactly
Christmas
right.
All year round.
Big
just
Christmas.
It rolling.
Big Christmas.
Guys, I was meeting with my financial advisor past week, and he was wondering how your weekend was.
Our weekend? That's weird that he would ask about
he
our
was
weekend.
Very concerned about he's your
not my
weekends.
Financial advisor.
No, he's not yours. He's mine.
But he asked about my weekend.
He's a big fan of the show.
I'm a little concerned.
Oh, yeah. Tell him it was great.
Yeah.
Okay.
My weekend was great. Aside from staying up all evening last night.
Yep.
You're on the phone now?
Tony?
Your financial advisor's name is Tony.
Yeah, it's Brain. Oh, yeah, you know. Yeah, more GameStop, please. Yes. They said both their weekends were good. Okay. Saturday? Got it. All right, God bless. Tony.
We're just topical enough on Deck the Hallmark. Like, just enough to let people know that this is in a certain time and place. And I appreciate that.
Dude, if you listen, I guarantee you listen to this 2 months from now and the GameStop joke is not going to land. Barely landed now.
We had a Tom Cruise joke in Take the Day Off
that people
had forgotten about. So there's that. Sometimes it just doesn't age well.
Good times. No, it doesn't, you plotter boy. You guys ready to dive into Snowkissed?
Please.
Snowkissed originally aired on January 31st, 2021. Really snuck this one in there.
2021.
In the month of January, and it went a little something like this. Kate's a city girl. She knows her stuff. She's a journalist. Her boss, or a boss of someone that she freelances for, says, hey, I got you an interview with a hotshot author named Owen
Mueller.
Owen Mueller.
Mueller.
Professor.
Mueller.
The only problem.
Owen Mueller.
It's never not funny.
It's never not funny.
It's never not funny.
Ben Stein, baby.
Oh, man. He's my financial advisor as well.
You call him Tony.
I call him Tony. Tony Stein.
Tony Stein bit. Is Bill's freewheeling brother.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's yeah. just out and about.
Yeah. He's got a little bit more with his yeah. voice, a little more range. So the only problem with this big job is she has to travel. You might think not a big deal, but it is a big deal for her. She is deathly afraid of airplanes. She gets high travel anxiety, but she overcomes that fear and she heads to Banff. And we meet Noah, who runs a B&B, and he is trying to become a tour guide to give the B&B the extra pizzazz it needs to differentiate itself from all the other Banff B&Bs, the BBBs. He's really bad at tour guiding, though. Doesn't quite have the chops for it. So Kate and her friends show up. They land. They get there. She's very frazzled. She thinks that she lost her passport. She meets Owen in line for coffee, gives him a hard time. They kind of go back and forth. It's very, you know, wow, this is weird. But they don't hit it off, I think would be the way to say it. And that's unfortunate because she is being picked up by Owen. I'm sorry. What's his name? Noah, not Owen.
Owen Mueller?
No, Owen Mueller is not there, everybody. Mueller? Owen Mueller, Mueller. Not Mueller. There. We're talking about Noah. Noah is there to pick her up and bring her to the B&B. And so they get to the B&B and Kate is like, okay, whatever. I'm going to go and do some stuff to get ready for the interview. But then she finds out that Owen Mueller.
Mueller?
Canceled the interview.
What?
Luckily, no one knows Owen and calls him up and gets him to reschedule for Friday, a few days from now. Woohoo! To repay him, they agree to go on a 3-day adventure tour so that Noah can work on his tour guiding chops. Kate is very uncomfortable with this whole thing, seeing as how it's going to make her, you know, leave the B&B, and she doesn't want to leave. He's really bad at tour guiding. Kate starts to try to help him, but she's not very nice about it. She's like, you're not good at this, and also your facts are wrong. And so just try to be better. And he's very sensitive, and it's just like, oh, you think I'm the worst. But they have one magical hot chocolate by the fire. It helps everything. They both understand each other now 100%. And she finally agrees to do something a little outside the box. They go snowshoeing up a mountain. She loves it. She can't believe how beautiful it is up there on top of the mountain. So Kate really loves Owen Mueller's book. It's all about acceptance and just you got to accept where you are and you sit there and you'll flourish. And that's the answer to life. But when she meets Owen Mueller, he's like, oh, yeah, that's all garbage. Don't believe that anymore. Glad we're talking about it. This totally explodes Kate's mind. She's just like, this is like, I have totally bought into this. Manhattan's where I am. I never want to leave Manhattan.
She's from Manhattan?
She's from Manhattan.
Get out of here.
There's no way. She's the center of the universe. There's this B storyline about Kate's friend Jane, who's really into Noah's friend and co and business partner Simon. He's very aloof, very unaware, and she's really dropping the hints, and he's just not picking them up. Get back to that later. So Kate sends in the story about her interview, and then goes up the mountain with Noah, and they end up kissing.
What?
You okay?
I'm fine.
Yeah. Ends up kissing. It's a wonderful moment. And she gets a phone call. And the editor's like, this was great. And we want to hire you full time. No more freelancing for you, girl. Simon shows Jane that he likes her with flowers. Cool. Kate doesn't want to leave. But she doesn't want to leave Banff, but she got this job, and so she goes back to Manhattan, and she just hates it. She doesn't get her normal bagel. She starts to bump into people, which she used to hate, and now she's doing to other people. She just can't do it. So she leaves her job. Her boss agrees to let her work remotely, and she goes back to Banff. She finds them, and he looks like he's getting ready to leave. Where's he going? He was going to New York to find her. The snow starts to fall. They kiss, and that, my friends, was
Snow Kiss.
We did it.
We did do it.
There it is. There you go. Snow.
Man, that snow's loud.
It's loud. So it's almost like a rain on a tin roof kind of thing. Yeah,
it happens. I love that type of snow. Hey, let's take a break.
Okay.
Tony said we should take a break. He said you guys need a break to kind of, you're losing steam is what he said. He's watching live. He's a Brainwell Jam Plus subscriber. So we're going to do that. We're going to come back. We're going to break this movie down with four segments. I don't know if you've heard, and we'll be back here on Deck the Hallmark. We're back.
You know, it's amazing. We went a full, whatever that was, 10 minutes without talking about the pink unicorn at the front of our studio.
Oh, yes.
And we can't help but mention that our set has been redecorated.
It has been redecorated.
It was decorated for Christmas.
Yep.
It was decorated for the Deckies. And now it's decorated for Love Ever After.
That's exactly right.
Preview episode airs tomorrow.
It is Love Ever After / Super Bowl.
There's a little bit of a football bit going on there.
Which you'll find out more about. Follow us on the social medias. Yeah, there's a reason for it. Yeah.
There's a reason that there's a little football.
At Hallmark Podcast.
Football.
I'm very excited about it.
Football.
Panda, you were a big footballer.
What
took you out?
Listen, I don't like to get into it, but there was a little bit of some push and shove with the coach. He benched me.
Zambrosia benched you.
Yeah, he did.
That's unbelievable.
Well, he kept wanting to run the how do you do, and then I kept saying, not now. Why don't we try the reverse how you do? And he said, no, I'm out.
Wow.
And I said, no, I'm out.
And then
I just quit.
It sounded like he was getting ready to quit.
Well, he benched me.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I benched myself further.
I got to stand by Zambrosia on this one. You benched yourself. It was a further benching.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I can't believe you would go against it. How do you do? But that's neither here nor there.
But if you had seen the score, you would understand.
What was the score?
Well, we were up by 42.
And so I
didn't want to keep running it up.
So you wanted to run up the score by doing the reverse. How do you do?
Yeah.
But well, you would
the reverse at this point. We had tried you
wanted
the reverse.
You wanted to keep running up the score?
You don't know. You've got not nary a leg to stand on.
Because it seems to me like if you keep running the how do you do, eventually they would catch on. So by switching it up. All right, it's time for the hot take. It's the part of the show where we share exactly how we felt about this movie. We do not hold back. I was eating some Dove chocolate.
You're getting eating some Dove chocolate?
I was getting, I ate some Dove chocolate. You know how you open it up and it has some fun words in it? Yeah. This one says Panda gives the best hot takes.
Yep.
And I was like, how does he know Dove, Mr. Dove?
I've been talking with Dove.
You've been talking with Dove?
Yeah.
We'll share your hot take, and then we will decide if Dove is truth or lies.
So here's the deal. I know that on the Bramble Jam Plus conversation that people have been having, this was not a big hit with many people.
You read the Facebook comments.
I do read them occasionally.
I don't. Sometimes I get tagged in them and I'm like,
yeah, you try to steer clear.
I try to steer clear and I get tagged and it's like, I didn't know it was in that conversation. Like this one, they're like, can't wait for Dan's take on this one. And there's like a picture of a dumpster fire. I'm like,
it pops up. It's the first thing that popped up in my Facebook feed. So here's the deal. I didn't hate it as much as I think a lot of people did. I completely understand this. This is the weakest of the new year, new movies. This is not, and it's not a good one. It's pretty rough. It's boring. I think that's the biggest problem I have with this movie is it's boring. I'm not a huge fan of Jen Lilly's character, but overall, the biggest issue I have with this movie is it's just very slow, and it's just not all that intriguing. I liked Chris's character in this. I didn't mind him. I think the B characters of Jane and Simon make this a more interesting movie. I actually liked that relationship better overall.
Hold on, say that again.
Jane and Simon, I like their relationship better. It's better.
Sorry, go ahead, keep going.
Okay, thanks. And then it's Pretty Mountains. You can't beat Pretty Mountains.
This is the second week in a row for Banff.
Big
you liking Jane and Simon better than...
How do you not find them at least intriguing?
He's going to wear her skin as a suit.
Okay, that might be true, but tell me that's not more interesting.
No, no,
No. This is what I'll say, Panda. I agree that they were the more interesting storyline. They weren't the better couple.
Oh, though. Good gosh.
No, not better in... Okay, let me clarify that. Not better in the sense of...
They are not better
together.
Good,
no, they're horrible
they're
together.
They're horrible together.
No, they're awful. Yeah. And Simon, no, yeah. They're horrible. Yeah. But I was more invested in that. I cared more about what was going on with them.
I had a very long conversation with my financial advisor, Tony, about that couple.
Yeah?
And it just... He was, there's nothing there.
No, nothing.
Nothing about him she should like. It's very much the chase.
The chase is the most interesting, but that's a more interesting chase because he is a blip.
But once she captures, just going along with the chase metaphor.
In the chest.
They are
not in the chest.
It is very like... Okay, now what? Very weird together.
Yeah, no, it's
he struggles with words, and I don't think it's because English is his second language. I think it's because he's a bad actor.
Oh, he's a shy soul.
That Simon is just like top five worst character like that we've ever seen, easily.
He's more interesting.
He looks like Tyler Hines got beat with the ugly stick. Also, he's Brazilian. Not that Brazilians look great. Brazilians look wonderful. I'm saying that he's a Brazilian Tyler Hines that got hit with the ugly stick is what I'm saying. Just a couple lashes, not like a full beating. It doesn't.
Cool.
Simon, give us a call. We'd love to interview you, buddy.
Couple lashes.
Couple lashes, not full beating.
My least favorite of the winter movies. I didn't buy any of it. I didn't buy any of it. I didn't buy her character. Didn't really buy his character. Didn't buy any of it. Banff is great. I will always watch a Banff movie. I just didn't buy the characters. I agree. It was slow. The first act.
Terminal.
Dude, they got to that first commercial and I was like, this is the first commercial? So definitely the slowest. I just didn't buy it. But boy, I got to see a couple of previews for Love Ever After movies, and I could not be more pumped. Let's keep going. Let the good times roll. Not this one, though.
Guys, we do a lot of these movies. We do a lot of them. I call a lot of movies dumpster fires. I say a lot of movies are disasters. But there comes a time where... a movie goes the extra mile in its badness. It mines the depths of just how bad a movie can be. Snowkissed is such a movie. This is the worst movie of the season. It's probably the worst movie, including Christmas. Are there issues with this movie? How do I count the ways? The stakes in this movie, we say this sometimes, but this time it is true. The stakes could not be lower. There's not a bakery to save. There's not a play that needs to be performed. There's not a deadline that needs to be met. Basically, she gets to go from freelance to full-time, and his bed and breakfast gets a boost of tours. There is virtually no stakes at all. The acting is terrible. Here's the thing. I love Jen Lilly. Jen Lilly, her character in this movie is so poorly written and so far removed from her in real life. And I know that you're not supposed to play yourself in every movie, but like, it's impossible. Jen is just super energetic all the time. She's always talking to her in person. She's always got something to say, always asking you, always thinking about other things and thinking about like, you know, you and super thoughtful, super energetic, talking nonstop. Adventurous, like wanting to try new things. This character made zero sense. She longs for the safe confines of Manhattan. I just don't understand it. There's so much in this movie that's bad. The it's slow. It is one of the worst. It is, if we ever did an all-time worst list, this would have to be in consideration. It is just a dumpster fire of all time. Like, what, this is right there in the pickler category.
Wow. Okay, so what's worse, Amazing Winter Romance or this one?
This movie is worse than Amazing Winter Romance. Wow. It is. It is very, very bad. Nothing works. Nothing works in this movie. Nothing. And then the Simon character, woof.
I think Simon works on every level.
Holy cow. That character is frightening. I don't know. Yeah, this is really
Jane's
bad, guys.
Fun.
Say what?
Jane's fun.
Yeah, but Jane. She spends all her energy. Yeah. Like, she's trying in the movie. It's just not good. Chris McNally, man. I know they love him on Wind Calls a Heart. Every movie he's in on Hallmark is just an absolute just turd basket. It's so bad.
How about that movie where he was
Sailing Into Love?
Welcome Aboard, Mate. Yeah.
Ahoy.
Ahoy, yeah. Captain
Sailing
Ship
Into Love. There's no Captain Ship is his name. Captain Ship. he's not, there's no ocean in the movie anywhere. Remember? Yeah. And it caught you off guard.
That was fun.
It's bad, guys. I don't know. Get this guy a Christmas movie. I'm sure he could do it.
It's time for All the Feels. It's the part of the show we talk about what this movie gave us those winter feels. Panda?
They're in that one building where the violin player's playing, and he offers her a mint, and she says no. Simon offers Jane the mint, says no. That's a funny scene. That's funny.
So on IMDb, it says that that violinist is Lucia Micarelli. And I rewound it, and it looks kind of like Lucia Micarelli.
Which is awesome.
But not enough for me to confirm that. But IMDb says that violinist is Lucia Micarelli.
But why
is she there? I don't know. But she's there playing. Isn't that wild?
Is she Canadian?
No. No, she's from like...
Well, maybe she was up there on vacation, and they said, hey, why don't you...
pop on over.
We'll give you... how much money for to do like 3 hours out of your day to just play what you're good at, how much money would they have to pay you?
Just to do what again? Sorry.
Just pop over for 3 hours and just do a little bit of a violin.
If you're
bit.
Her level of violinist,
yeah,
thousands of dollars. 3 hours of violin work. Unless she knows someone who's just doing a favor. Like, she's one of the best in the world at what she does.
I'd do it for $20.
$20? Yeah, you would.
For
yeah, you
cheeseburger. Would. Yeah. I'm hungry.
this is what I'll say. I was on the Jane Simon train to a very specific point. Where do you think the specific point was, Panda? Because I think we're kind of in...
I think you're out during the chocolate scene.
That's exactly right.
Like when that's where I jumped.
That's exactly right. I was all in on Jane and Simon. I thought that the dinner was finally going to be the wake up call. And it was beautiful and it was amazing. And she did all of this just to show him, hey, guy who won't really talk, I like you. And it all fell apart. But until I loved it.
Yeah.
So I couldn't believe. I couldn't believe that he didn't reciprocate it or
that's reciprocate it.
Just I know
the one.
I'm letting it slide.
Man,
in.
I'm just reciprocating today.
That's where I think that
reciprocate.
I couldn't believe it. So I had feels for them until that point, and then I got angry feels. Like, well, I was angry at Simon.
Well, you could, because that stretches believability at that point. Like, you can't. And then he was like, "Oh, we can play chess." Like, that's where you want to slap the guy. Like, you're oblivious, my man.
So I had no feels, zero feels, like none of any kind. Bad. The Jane and Simon relationship, bad. The McNally and Lily relationship, bad. Movie, bad, 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 bad. It's just not a good movie, and there was no feels to be had. I was happy that it was over. I was sad when it started. That's
you were sad going into it, and I think that's the problem.
No, I wasn't sad. That's true. Yeah, I kind of was sad when it started.
Yeah. Try going in happy.
Okay.
Actually, I think you should rewatch it happy and see what happens.
Well, rewatch it happy.
It didn't help that I had to watch this movie late last night, and I had to watch three movies for filming a movie because I watched the wrong one by accident. And so, like, I had watched a ton of movies this weekend.
How do you watch the wrong one on accident?
We had a pairing to record today, and then the last minute we had a filmmaker who could do this week. And so we switched, and I knew before we watched it, but in my head we were still doing the old pairing. And so I watched the first movie, and I was like, oh, what's the other movie? And I was like, oh, no. So
was it good?
The one that I watched by accident was the best movie I watched all weekend by a mile. So there's that.
Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the Wait What's. Is everyone good to wait?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, here on Deck the Hallmark. Hey guys, Tony just texted me. He said, good show so far.
Really? He thinks this is good.
He thinks this is good.
We had to stop for a delivery driver.
Well, yeah, but he said that was his favorite part.
Did he say Primo?
He said Primo.
Primo.
Primo That's Magazine. Tony for you. He said Primo Magazino.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what that means.
I don't either, but
it's weird.
He would get it.
Yeah.
Primo Magazino. Let's scurry on over to the Wait What's, part of the show where we talk about what in this movie made us go, wait, what? Panda, give us that Primo Magazino.
Okay, so part of this is, I need clarification on this. Does, what's her name, Kate, she says she has travel anxiety. I get that. My wife has a little bit of travel anxiety. I understand that. But it seems like it crosses the line from travel anxiety to having all of the phobias. Like, she is scared of everything. Heights. It goes beyond just travel, right? What's, like, she's nervous about everything.
I think what's weird is that she, when she's doing the activity, she seems fine.
Right.
That's what's weird to me is, I hate flying. We're going to land, blah, blah, blah. During the flight, we don't see anything. She's cool. She's good. She's good to go. But it does seem like she does. She's averse to new things, which, you know, living in New York, like, that's a tough sell as well. I'm sure there are people in New York that just have a routine and they don't want to do new things, sure. For sure. But
I mean, I guess if, you know, you've lived in New York your whole life and you've never left, it could be scary.
I guess. Sure. Okay. Sure.
I don't know. I was also kind of confused by what her deal was, so to speak.
So no one knows that Simon is Simon, right?
He's a weird dude.
And so, he's clearly watching Jane pour her heart out into trying to get Lance Simon. And he says, sometimes you just got to be direct with Simon. My thing is, as a bro, at what point do you just pull the other guy aside and say, hey man, like, Jane's really into you.
Yeah,
like, let's just say FYI. That like, early. I mean, that's, you're just being a bad friend at this point. And I think he's just, I don't think Noah's a great friend to Simon.
I agree 100%.
Also, maybe he's scared Simon's going to murder him, though. I want to be clear about that as well. Because every line he says of dialogue with no emotional inflection at all, just, I was terrified.
Yeah.
So many awkward scenes. Even when Jane and Simon get together, they hold each other like by the shoulders on the outside. And it's just like, this is weird. No.
He's a little uncomfortable. I've been known to be uncomfortable though. And so I think I relate to Simon on some level.
Doubt it.
Final thing here is she meets Owen Mueller and he's like, hey, I don't believe in my philosophy anymore. And she's like, she leaves there and she goes, that was a terrible meeting. I don't know what to write about in my article. That's the angle.
Yeah.
That's the angle. This is what literally 5 million people have followed this guy. And now he's saying, I don't believe, but I disavow that. That's the angle.
Here's my thing is that the reason that's not the angle is because he said he's been disavowed it for 2 years, which means it's already on the internet that he disavowed it and none of them looked it up.
Well, that was another way. What? How does she not know?
Favorite book that you literally take with you everywhere, how is it that in 2 years of this guy completely disavowing the book, you've never heard of that?
The only thing I thought and the only reason I gave it a slight pass was maybe he doesn't give interviews, but he seemed like it was common knowledge. Like, I hope you don't know.
Yeah,
it's bad. That's not great.
Dude, the whole thing's bad.
No. Yeah, it's not.
Yeah, good. It's not good.
Yeah, I mean, I got more of about the interview in my what the homework, but it. Yeah, I just didn't understand it as a whole. I have a few. So this violin player, apparently it's Lucia, goes to this hotel ballroom.
Yep.
To practice every day in a full just gown.
Maybe she practices in Banff every day. Maybe that's what Lucia's secret is.
She just goes into this empty hotel ballroom in full gown for practice every day?
I guess. That was a weird one.
I'm just going to show up. I hope it's good. he says, hey, you hiked up a mountain. And she says, to the top. It's implied when you say I hiked up the mountain.
Right. We didn't go halfway.
No one's gonna be like, oh yeah, but did you finish it? Like, no, you hiked up the mountain. I just didn't feel like it was a necessary. Don't you forget it. I found it odd. I'm not a journalist. I mean, I am, but I'm not like a journalist like she is, but her boss is bringing her, like she gets into
bringing
her office.
Her tips, yeah.
Her boss is bringing her pitches?
I don't understand.
Here's a full file of pitches. Just pick your fancy. I always thought it was, hey, I'm going to bring my editor pitches and then the editor will pick. And I'm sure occasionally there's something, hey, this is coming. Do you want this? But a full thing of pitches? I don't know. It just caught me off guard. I don't know. I when she's back in New York, there is this. She's walking down the street and there's no one around.
None.
And there's this girl who just checks her into the glass like a hockey player. Just at it, like just full shoulder. What's her deal?
Yeah. Tourist.
And I know it's supposed to be like a, hey, remember earlier when she kind of bumped into somebody?
But there, this lady is aggressively. Yes,
it is mean. It is tough.
That is not New Yorker. That is just her just being the worst person.
Yeah, it's tough.
I got one job. I'm going to run through. I'm going to hip check Jen Lilly. I'm going to get out of here.
Flex it in.
She orders a bagel at the beginning of this movie with butter on the top.
What is her deal?
Cream cheese on the bottom. Wow. That's wow. Like, what's going on there? That's a lot. That's a lot for a bagel. I got to be honest with you. That's a big time bagel. I'm just, I don't know. I did have feels.
That's the name of the bagel.
Big time bagel. My feels were angry feels where they gave Canada the props for inventing basketball early in this movie. I don't know if you heard Chris McNally throw it in there.
Yeah. I heard a lot of things thrown in.
Yeah.
Such as like wireless internet.
So technically James Naismith, who is the inventor of basketball, is Canadian American. He had both citizenships. However, he invented it in Springfield, Massachusetts at Springfield College. Come on guys, let's not. He's giving a tour. Chris McNally's giving a tour in the movie, and he says to these three people, and he goes, okay, imagine you're the crowd. They are the crowd. They're the crowd. They don't have to imagine they're the crowd. They're taking the tour. They are the crowd. No imagination is needed for this particular scene. It's not needed.
Right.
You feel good about that?
How's that working?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's science, that's something. Man. That's crazy.
They walk into the violinist who we touched on a bunch, and one person says, oh, it's Jen. Man, I can't remember the last time I've heard live music. So if a stranger playing his or her instrument
practicing
counts as live music, you have heard live music every day in Manhattan of some sort or fashion.
Every day.
There's no way you can avoid it.
No.
You're hearing live music. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Man, I haven't done live music in forever. This doesn't count.
I mean, unless you, like, you maybe, you know, if she never takes the subway, like, maybe she can avoid it sometimes.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, a lot of the buskers are down at the subway. They're but, there. Like...
Still. 10 years?
In Manhattan?
10 years? No way. I got two big ones at the end. I'll go in reverse order because the last one is like an all-time wait what for me. But the she's back in Manhattan and she's talking with Jane and she's like, I mean, ever since my trip to Banff, now I care about things like fancy wine names like Bordeaux. I mean, guys, Bordeaux is pretty common wine. It's not like that's not a lot. Bordeaux, if you drank wine at all, you would know what a Bordeaux was. It's pretty common. Like, I care about fancy things like mineral water, soda pop. Like it's just the name of a wine. It's not that fancy. It just isn't fancy to say Bordeaux. Just because it ends in E-A-U-X doesn't make it fancy. No, you beg to differ?
I mean, how many words do you know that end with X?
A few. Fox.
Okay.
All right. Hey, but this is a big one here. I think Homework was trying to do...
Bordeaux!
You were doing What Does the Fox Say?
But he was doing...
That's what the fox
that's
says.
That's what the fox says. Bordeaux. The fox says Bordeaux.
He does.
Fox, interesting.
Fox a big whiny.
Big whiny fox. Unbelievable.
Fancy fox.
Fancy fox. This wait what? I think Hallmark's trying to do something with the kiss in this movie. They kiss when they're at the top of this thing. You know, she's afraid of heights. And they have this kiss that kind of comes out of nowhere. And her phone rings while she kisses, while they're kissing. And in any other Hallmark movie from the last 10 years, the phone rings, you stop kissing. Everybody knows that bit. So the phone rings and she pulls back and she goes, I'm not going to get that. And they go back in for the kiss. And it rings a second time. And she's like, nope, gotta get that. So what you're saying is that one ring, it's probably nothing. But if that phone rings twice, like most every phone call would do, then I have to, it must be urgent. If someone's calling for more than one phone ring, then it has to be urgent. I can't kiss you any longer. I, for the life of me, could make not heads or tails out of that scene at all. If you're committed to kissing through the phone ring, you're committed to kissing through the phone ring. One ring versus two. Doesn't make any sense to me.
I do want to point out that our pizza delivery driver called once. You did not leave.
No.
Calls
two
twice.
Separate phone calls. If my wife calls back to back.
Oh, you're saying.
Yeah. It's same phone call.
Oh, same ring. Oh. Yeah.
You didn't call twice. It's ring,
the same ring-a-ling.
Ring.
Okay. Yeah, just yeah, yeah.
She said, no to the ring, but when it got to the ling, she was like,
Okay. No, you're right. That's all time bad. Oh, yeah. I thought that was a double call.
If my wife calls back to back.
That's when you know.
I answer no matter what I'm doing because you know something's going on. That's not what happened there. It was two rings. Two rings, usually get five or six of those before your phone goes to voicemail.
Yeah.
Second one, I got to go right now.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
We did it. Nope. It's time for What the Hallmark is Supposed to Show.
What could have been maybe happen? Gives a clarity of the questions that we still have. That pizza smells
we
so
hungry.
Good.
We're hungry.
Panda?
Harold the Fish. Yeah. I want to know what's going to happen to him. And I think that this is a fair assessment because she is concerned about Harold the Fish as well.
She is.
Does she take him to Banff? How do you transport a little beta fish like that? Is that something you even should try to transport?
Yeah.
Is it worth the transport?
People, obviously they get transported, Panda. There's not one fish fountain where everybody goes to get their beta fish. Like they get transported across the country. Dummy.
Yeah. Okay. I see but where about, I made a
but
mistake.
But, should, hear me but what out. About by plane?
Should we?
But what about by plane?
Should we transport fish?
Yeah. Hear me out. Okay. I did not think it through, and I will. I
what you were getting at though was about.
I'm sorry, I called you dummy.
No, you're not.
I am sorry because it sounded very, very mean. I stand by that in this particular case, it was really, really dumb. But I could.
But you're not dumb for saying it. What about planes, though?
I mean, don't think.
Is it a certain altitude where
fish gets puffed up? What are you talking about?
The pressure. You can't. I mean, a pressurized fish.
They're underwater.
Yeah.
Okay. So that the makes air, it even the worse. Water,
no.
They're underwater and they're flying in the air. That's double pressure.
There's a reason why water's not floating in the air, dummy.
Clouds all contain moisture in the air.
Yeah, but what happens?
Different
time.
Type.
All falls down.
It's a different
it's
type.
Not, it all falls
it
down.
Fall it doesn't down. All fall down.
It tries to, and then sometimes it evaporates.
That's true.
Yeah.
I stand by it.
It tries to.
I'm just saying, maybe we should transport fish.
Maybe we shouldn't. We should keep Panda, all one.
Yeah. I'm a pan on this.
Yeah.
Guys, what's the deal with Owen? One, taking this interview. Why?
Yeah, fair.
Why did he take the interview?
Why did he cancel to begin with, though?
And why did he cancel not once, but twice? He didn't cancel it the second time, but he rescheduled it.
Yeah.
What is his deal?
What's his deal?
Why did he take this interview? Like, was it to finally go on record about changing his philosophy? If so,
2 years later,
why'd he cancel it?
Yeah.
If not, what's the point of it?
And also, he's so cavalier about it. Just like, oh yeah, that's not what I believe. That's dumb. You believe that? You dummy, dumb. You just don't. Wow.
What is
it.
His deal? What's Owen's deal?
I think he's made enough money where he doesn't care anymore. 5 million copies sold of a book.
But why do the interview?
Ours sold its first million last week. We released
guys, I'll be home for Christmas movies. Is for pre-order right now. We are, I think what they call trending.
Yeah. If we trending, sell 5 million copies of the book, we'll take all the ads out of the podcast.
Sheesh, that's all it's going to take. Let's do it.
Yep. 5 million copies. We'll take all the ads out.
How many books do we need to sell to become New York Times bestsellers?
I think it's like in between 10 and 100,000, like it's somewhere in that range.
It's, I think it's on the lower. I think it, once you like hit 10, like, it's I think like it's 10 to 15. That's not,
we can do week. That. It has to be your first week.
Then we're not doing
what about, pre, is
no,
it, pre,
it has to be your first week? No, it doesn't.
No, like once the book is released, it has to sell, like by release time, it has to be.
No, because they do it every week. It's how many you sell in that week. So like, because we're, our book's releasing September 28th. If and when we go on book tour, Lord willing, it will not be till like Halloween-ish November.
Yeah, but they count all those up until like the release is my understanding. Isn't that like for pre-sale, don't they take-
Pre-sale includes the release date. But what I'm saying is you can hit the New York Times bestseller at any week.
Yes, but typically it takes more. 10 to 15. Your best shot is week one, traditionally speaking.
Not for a Christmas book released in September.
No. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't have the hard stats. My editor hasn't gotten back to me on that.
Regardless, 5 million copies, we'll just no ads. No, you won't hear anything about Bramble Jam Plus. You'll hear zero from us. You heard it here.
Yeah, you won't hear anything from us because we're not doing this anymore.
We're out of here. We're sailing with our book buddy. You kidding me? You're not going to hear anything from us anymore.
Dude, I'm going to buy a yacht.
It's bold.
Gonna do it.
It's bold.
Yeah. Smaller one.
You don't even like water.
No, I don't. But I think, I'd have one.
Well,
in the marina.
But what about fish? Like, should we transport them? Yeah.
Keep them in the water.
Keep them in the water where they belong.
Yep. As long as you can, man. But okay, they do ship them on boat, right? The fish.
You're standing by this. What about standing by this?
What about the center of the country?
Yeah, but they ship them in on the marina.
Ship them on boat is what I'm saying. Ship them on boat,
but then put them in the cars. Legs. And they drive them. They're not flying.
Freaking
them.
Lewis and Clark trying to get the fish to Topeka, Kansas.
Wait, are you saying they only transport fish in cars? Any bigger vehicles, it's a no-go for them?
Okay, boat to truck.
The truck now.
Like a semi-truck with ice.
A semi-truck.
And keep them, or just, keep them cool.
I don't even know why we do this.
But no planes.
I'm thinking you can't do
it. I'm with you on no planes. Go ahead.
What the hallmark is, do these people know what a Nobel Prize is? said the sea salt guy invented sea salt caramel, she got a Nobel Prize. There are 5 Nobel Prizes. None of them would qualify. I'm confused. Do people say that? Is that, that's my other, do people?
I think it's the same.
You think people do say that?
I say it.
Whoever invented pizza should get the Nobel Prize.
That is definitely a thing.
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've done it before as a joke. Like a funny, like I love this. You've
done it as a joke.
Yeah, it was a joke.
I think he was joking. It was a joke. Too. No one's really believed.
You think
believed.
He seriously is pushing for the chocolate guy?
But my question is, you've done it as a joke of people that say that?
No. Oh, as a funny. That. Yes. The guy who created pizza should get a Nobel Prize.
Yeah.
Okay, there you have it. That's all I have for what?
100%.
Everything else was in the way to what?
Whoever's transporting fish.
Wait to what?
Okay.
Prize. Mm-hmm. We did it, everybody. Congratulations. We're going to be back tomorrow with a preview of Love Ever After.
Thank
We've got
goodness.
4 goodies that we're going to break down and list kind of where we're at. And list where we're at and how we're feeling about from excitement to least excited, all that
I
good
didn't
stuff.
See it coming.
From one heart to 5 hearts, something like that. It's time for the double decker of the week. It's the part of the show where we talk about a double decker. Panda, you've done the deep dive. You have that Google Plus, and you do the deep. It's just unbelievable what you're able to decipher. Yeah. You got to do a lot of
triangulating.
Who do we have?
Caroline Walker.
Yeah, Caroline Walker. Actually, you know, here's what's great. I didn't have to do too deep of a dive. I actually know Caroline from a couple years back. We were in the Trips Howard Spelling Bee.
The what?
Trips Howard Spelling Bee.
Okay.
It's adult Spelling Bee.
Is that the Spelling Bee that Rig hosts?
Yeah, it is. And we were both competing. It was fierce. It got down to the final two, me and Caroline.
That's right.
Caroline took it, though. Yeah. I misspelled ambiguity.
Tell me, the final word in the adult spelling bee was ambiguity?
Yeah, it sure was. It was tough.
Man, must have been competing against some real winners.
I mean, Tracy was there.
Caroline Walker won, though. What word did she spell correctly?
Cheesecake.
Cheesecake.
The adult man, you spelling got because no, but you the adult to be spelling fair, it's harder. Is it 1 or 2 words?
If it's in the spelling bee, it's one word.
Well, normal one, but Trips Howard.
Trips Howard. So you just took Scripps, whatever it is, and you just changed the first letter of them? Is that what you did? What's Scripps? Is it just the Scripps?
Scripps spelling bee.
Oh, yeah, okay. Scripps, yeah. So he just went Tripp. Why Tripp Howard?
Because you know Tripp.
I don't.
Tripp, he's one of the best spellers of all time.
So is it Tripp's possessive Howard?
Yeah. Tripp's Howard.
From what I gather.
Who's Howard is it? No, it's no, Tripp's Howard. No,
Tripp's, you got to understand, Tripp's, that's how he spells his name.
Or Tripp's?
Tripp's.
Okay, because you said Tripp.
Possessive.
But you earlier you said, you know Tripp, and I said, no, I don't.
Well, he goes by either one. He's a murky dude.
Gosh.
The Tripp's Howard spelling bee goes from harder to the easier.
Yeah.
So they get a lot out. Oh,
so early on, you actually had some tough
Xanthan
ones.
Xanthan gum was the first one.
That's two words. That is two words. Xanthan gum is
that's
two
Tripp's
words.
That's Tripp's Howard for you.
Dude, Tripp's. I don't know how.
Plays by his own rules. He cart helps him out from time to time.
He does from time to time.
Wow.
We did everybody. We're going to be back tomorrow, Thursday, Friday. I've almost gone through a whole thing of, man, did they leave the bag? Big thanks to Plum for doing this. And we'll be back tomorrow. Until then, maybe we'll be the first to wish you a
Merry Christmas.
Deck the Hallmark is a Bramble Jam podcast. It's produced by Brandon Gray and presented by Friendly TV. Our lovely set is decorated by Plum Home Decor. You can check them out at plumonmain.com. For more information on Bramble Jam Podcast, go to BrambleJamPodcast.com. And to hear every Bramble Jam Podcast ad-free, go to BrambleJamPlus.com.